And then we turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In most of your Bibles, that's page 1020. 1020. It was last week in the second service we began this topic of spiritual gifts. We define the gifts as special abilities given by Christ through the Holy Spirit. Special abilities given by Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Gifts which then empower believers for ministries in the church, in the congregation. And we distinguish, you'll remember, the extraordinary gifts from the ordinary gifts. The ordinary gifts, we said, are for today. And I gave a list of 16 ordinary gifts. There were handouts last week, and there's just one or two. I have one more up here, two or three back on the table. If you didn't get that list, it's quite a handy description of the 16 ongoing spiritual gifts. It starts alphabetically with the gift of administration and goes through the gift of wisdom. We find these in three particular passages in the New Testament. And again, I'm taking many points from a workbook written by Reverend Alvin Vandergreen. His workbook is entitled Discover Your Gifts and Learn How to Use Them. So let me just read, but if you want to follow along, looking along, starting really with verse 11, it's on the topic of spiritual gifts, gifts by the Spirit. Look how often the word Spirit or Holy Spirit is mentioned here. And Paul says in verse 11, one and the same Spirit works all these things, all these gifts, distributing to each one, to each Christian individually, as He wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism, no splitting apart in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way, and that, of course, is the way of agape love. Dear brothers and sisters and friends in the Lord Jesus, imagine one day your computer just stops working. That can happen sometimes. The computer just freezes up. Now imagine someone told you, well, just try to get it going again. And if someone told me that, my response would be, but I really don't know how. It just mysteriously went blank, it's frozen, and I don't know where to begin. I have no idea where to start. I might call up an expert. Thankfully, there's experts that I know. There's some experts in computers in this church, and they can give us some help. But now imagine someone tells you about the 16 continuing spiritual gifts, and they tell you, okay, get going. Find your gift, put it to work. And you might say, but where do I start? Where do I begin? And isn't that probably true? So The beginning of this message is really going to be an application of what we began last week. And I'm not going to follow verses, but I'm going to give now six ideas for discovering your own spiritual gift. These are not special ideas. They're sort of common sense. There's principles in the Bible here, but just ideas to discover your spiritual gift. Six ideas. You can later take the sermon back with you and find these six written and think more on them. But here's the first thought. You should become familiar with these 16 specific spiritual gifts. Become familiar with a list of spiritual gifts and be assured that you have at least one of them. Be assured that you have at least one of them. I won't go through the list, but know that list, know the gifts, and be assured that you have at least one of them. The ascended Lord Jesus has given to His church on earth members in the church, members which have the spiritual gifts. No Christian is omitted from having at least one spiritual gift, and some have two or three or four or maybe more. But every Christian has at least one. Our catechism, we won't read it again, but question 55 says this, that believers one and all share in Christ and in all His gifts. We share, of course, in the most important gifts in Christ, the gift of salvation, the gift of forgiveness of sins, related spiritual gifts, but also these gifts for ministry in the church. Everything starts, of course, with salvation, starting with faith in Jesus Christ. That's the beginning point. But then in Christ, we're given these spiritual gifts. And Paul says it very clearly in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 12. He says it very clearly. One and the same Spirit works all these things, all these gifts, distributing gifts to each one individually as He wills. Each member of the church has at least one spiritual gift. So become familiar with them. Look over the list. Become familiar with the list. And know then that you have at least one of them. A second practical way to discover your gifts is to start praying about it. Make this a prayer request. Oh Lord, I don't know which gifts I have, but I'm asking You to show me which gift I may have. James 1 verse 5 says, if any believer lacks wisdom, let him ask God, and God will give it. Ask God in prayer for more wisdom, no matter what the topic, no matter what the problem, no matter what you're searching for, and He will give you that wisdom. So ask for wisdom in identifying your spiritual gift. Remember in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is often called the Spirit of Wisdom. He's called the Spirit of Understanding. So not only does the Spirit give us spiritual gifts, He also will give us understanding about which gift we have. So pray. Pray for the Holy Spirit to help discern your gift. And then a third practical point. This is very practical. Another way to discover your gift is then to start analyzing yourself, examining yourself. Use godly self-examination. We talk about self-examination often when it comes to our sins and examine ourselves. There's that verse in relation to the Lord's Supper. But part of our sanctification is to exercise self-examination. Where am I growing in holiness? And part of our growth in holiness is knowing our gifts and how to use our gifts. Use that self-examination also about your spiritual gifts. You can ask yourself things like this. What are my special interests in the church, in the congregation? Where do I see myself helping in the congregation, helping the church, helping members of the congregation, helping in some way in worship or in service or in classes or with various groups or individuals? Might you be interested, for example, in matters of theology? Making important theological distinctions, is that your passion and interest? You might then have the gift of teaching or the gift of knowledge. Or do you have extra interest in some project that the church has been talking about, the pastor, the elders have been talking about? Maybe you have the gift of leadership. Hey, I see myself heading up that new program, that new service project, that new endeavor in the church. Or maybe you help organize and administrate that new program or activity. That's the gift of administration. Explore what you're passionate about. In the handout, if you don't have a copy, you can read it over or take the few that are remaining. He does a nice job, Reverend Vandergreen does, in sort of listing some of the characteristics about each gift. Sort of describing it. What does this look like? So you can get a better handle on whether you might have that gift. For example, he writes this about the gift of creative ability. Creative ability. Among the other characteristics of this gift are these. I have used a particular creative ability, such as writing or artwork or music, to benefit the church in some way. I've used my creative ability to benefit the church or worship or a ministry in some way. Or could you perhaps say this? People have told me that they've grown in their appreciation of the Lord or of the Bible as I've put forward my gift of art or writing or music. Is that true? Can you say that for yourself? Then perhaps you have the gift of creative ability. Explore what you're passionate about. Use self-examination. A fourth way, very practically, to discover your gift is to ask other believers in the church who know you well, mature believers ideally, what gifts they see in you. Ask other church members what spiritual gifts they see in you. Sit down with them sometime. Go through this handout. Go through the 16 gifts and say, let's do it for each other. You tell me maybe three of these 16 that you see in me or possibly see in me, and I'll share with you what three or two or one I see in you. Let's help each other in this. Ask other believers to give their input. Ask your pastor. Ask your elders. You can ask them, do you think I might be better in this, or do you think I might be better in that? And see what they say. Share with other Christians, what are your passions? What are your interests? Just in talking about your passion and interests, they could sort of help you explore what gifts you might have, or at least to confirm some of your initial thoughts, or maybe direct you in a completely different area that you never thought about. A fifth practical point. These are all very practical. Put your potential gift into practice. Before you decide that you probably have the gift, try a gift out. Put it into practice in some very practical way in some ministry of the church. For example, you might start to think you have the spiritual gift of encouragement. That's one of the gifts. And in that handout, there are suggestions about ways to try to use that gift to help you discover where you might have it. For example, you might try to encourage a new believer in their walk with the Lord. You remember when you were first converted, or in your teenage years when you came to personal awareness that Jesus has to be your Savior, not just the Savior of your father and mother, and you sort of say, well, here were some of my strange thoughts and feelings and struggles I had when I first came to awareness of my own faith in Jesus. You can encourage a new Christian in that way. You can have conversations with members of the church. See if members are willing to share their struggles with you. Right? You can't really encourage other people if you don't know where they are discouraged. So you have to talk kind of with people to hear where they might be discouraged a bit. And you know, for me, what really helps is if I know I can really trust someone, especially if I'm going into something confidential about a special burden I'm carrying. Will they keep confidentiality? Can I really trust them to not talk about this to other people? You're probably not going to have people willing to share with you if you know you're talking about their business with everyone else, right? So if it's very hard for you to keep confidentiality or to keep private things private, then maybe you don't yet have the gift of encouragement, or you have to work on it. You can only encourage people as they share discouragements, and some of those discouragements get quite personal, and you have to be very careful with them. Do you know the best way, probably, well, the best way, an important way to give encouragement is just to listen. Just to listen. We men have to learn that. Experts who talk about the difference between men and women, husbands and wives, say, you know, husbands are always fixers. They're always trying to fix problems. It's like they look under the hood of the car and say, okay, I need to change the oil, I need to pull this wire, and here it is, let's start. You know, so someone comes with a problem and say, well, here, I'm going to fix it. And right away, someone gives you, and I can identify with that as a man and as a pastor. Especially when I was younger, I always wanted to fix people's problems. Only as I'm getting older, I realize that, you know, some problems aren't maybe even fixable. Or maybe just in the listening I'm helping. So to be an encourager, you probably should also be a good listener. You could start to try to visit people who are sick or shut in or lonely. Just sort of test that gift. See if you really do have the gift of encouragement. Put it into practice. And then as a final step, once you've tried, once you've taken some steps to explore a certain gift, evaluate how it went. Maybe talk to someone about how it went. Just step back and ask yourself, how did that whole thing go? How well did I do? And of course, don't give up if the first time or two you tried something and it goes so well. I remember the first time I played piano in public, took piano lessons, I don't know, what was I, 5, 6 years old, and I was a teenager, and there was a singing group in my church in Michigan, and they said, you can accompany us on the piano. We want you. It was a male quartet, and we went around singing in churches. I probably today wouldn't recommend that, but I was young. No one gave me guidance in that, so I was their piano player. And all those first times in front, you guys can identify others who've had to practice in front of people those first times. I can remember my fingers being slippery with sweat on the piano keys. So nervous. And if you would ask me that first time or two, how did it go? I'd say, it went terrible. I hit a wrong note. I could hardly breathe. My legs were shaking. Especially when the piano's up front. I wish the piano was way in the back. So if it doesn't go well when you're practicing a gift at first, that's somewhat kind of natural. They have the saying, right? Practice makes perfect. You have to kind of keep practicing that gift. Don't give up right away. Evaluate how it goes over time. Are you improving as you've tried it 2, 3, 4 times? Take the gift of evangelism. Now, very few Christians, I think, genuinely have the gift of evangelism. Again, it's not knocking on doors. It's really not the biblical model of evangelism. It's simply sharing about Christ to people you meet, but in a very sensitive and listening way, hearing where they're at, making that point of contact, being very careful. So you might go along with someone who has the gift of evangelism. We had a man years ago, I was working in a church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He would take us around as seminarians, and he had this spectacular gift of just, well, he would talk to anyone. We'd go into a coffee shop. It was kind of embarrassing to me. You know, what was I, 22, 23 in seminary? He'd go up to a stranger sitting alone and say, do you mind if I sit by you and have a cup of coffee? Here's my friend. We'd just like to talk to you about Jesus. Wow. He was fearless. He'd pick up hitchhikers. I wouldn't recommend that, but he'd go driving around. When I think about it, he just was very unique, but really taught me something. Oh, there's a hitchhiker. Let's pick him up. So the young guy jumps in the back seat. Norm turns around and says, we're Christians, by the way. Do you know Jesus? And he's kind of a captive audience, right? He has to go 10 miles away. You know, he would keep talking and turning, not watching the traffic. But you go along with someone. Now, I wouldn't recommend something so bold, but maybe someone's having an evangelistic Bible study or they're having a conversation, and you say, could I go along sometime? Do you think that person would mind? Oh, no, you know that person, and sure, join in. And you can kind of hear how your pastor or elders or another Christian who has the gift, how they're engaging that person, sharing the gospel in simple ways. And over time, you get more and more comfortable with it. They tell us that we should learn to tell our own story. How did Jesus become real to you? Back when you were 10, 12, 13, 18, 32, when you first came to a personal realization of Jesus, how did that work for you? And you don't talk for 15 minutes, so you got to kind of work on keeping it to the point. Maybe write it out a little bit so you get comfortable sharing your story. And then try it with someone and see if you start to enjoy it. See if gradually you look forward to it. You might have the gift of evangelism. Well, for the time that remains, I just want to, and again, this is sort of the conclusion of last week's sermon. I want to just talk about some right attitudes in this exercise of spiritual gifts. Some right attitudes. And two categories. First, right attitudes towards other people who want to use their gifts. In other words, we're looking at them. We're in the church looking at them, trying to exercise their spiritual gift. And what attitude should we have? Look at verse 21 in chapter 12. Verse 21, the eye. So Paul is using the imagery of a physical body. Our own physical bodies with different parts. Hands, feet, eyes, ears. The eye of the body cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, hand. Nor can the head say to the feet, I don't need you, feet. No, you can't do that. Paul is saying that the church is like a human body with many different body parts, but all the parts have to work together for the common good. So it is with spiritual gifts. We all have different gifts, but we're put to work together for the good of the whole church. And in verse 21, Paul is imagining one church member with one gift saying to another church member, or maybe thinking, I don't really need your gift. I can get along perfectly well just using my gift, and we don't need you to use your gift. Paul says that's the wrong attitude. But that can happen sometimes in churches. Maybe not deliberately, but we don't value sometimes each other's gifts sufficiently. Or we may not be eager to let other members use their gifts. Sometimes we sort of keep a ministry to ourselves, the selfish nature. This is my kingdom. I teach this class, or I do this all the time. I don't need you to get involved in this using your gift. I've seen it. I've served three churches in my active ministry. I've seen it in churches where maybe with the gift of evangelism. Some people in the church say, look, the church is mainly for me and my relatives and my friends. One tight circle. The church isn't for those outsiders. And if someone has the gift of evangelism and is inviting new people in, they say, hey, why are you doing that? It was very cozy here. We all were related to each other. We all knew each other for many years. And now these new, strange people are coming in. The message is, don't use your gift. We have no place in the church for the use of this gift. I even had one church member say, all those outsiders are coming in and taking over our church. Can you imagine? Now, this was an established church of supposedly mature believers. Now, this wasn't an elder, thankfully, he was very immature. But I said, wait a minute. Those people are taking over our church. So whose church is it? Not my church, not your church, Jesus' church. Huh? The church belongs to Jesus. And these outsiders are Christians, so Christians belong to the church. These are part of Jesus' people. There are no outsiders, insiders when it comes to membership in the church. But those kind of things or statements can push people away using their spiritual gift. And we can do it even unintentionally, right? Sometimes we I'm always thinking of that. Oh, did I give the wrong message in what I said? And so be discerning, having the right attitude in you. Paul highlights the right attitude at the end of this chapter, verse 31. I love how he kind of ends, and it's a segue into chapter 13. He says, earnestly desire the best gifts. I wish he would have said what he thinks those best gifts are. And yet I show you a more excellent way, and that seems to be saying, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, I have the gift of tongues, but I don't have agape love, I'm really nothing. I can have that extraordinary gift in that day of tongues, speaking a language I haven't studied, but if I don't have agape love, I'm nothing. So what's the right attitude? The right Christian attitude for looking at others using their gifts is to view them with agape love, Christ's love. Sacrificial love. Giving kind of love. Paul says later in 1 Corinthians 13, agape love is not self-seeking. It does not seek your own personal agenda, your own personal ideas. So when it comes to the exercise of others' gifts, we must humble ourselves. We shouldn't push ourselves forward or in front of others. We must consider the good of the whole body. It's church. It's Jesus' church. So you see, even if evangelism isn't my gift, let's say someone has the gift of evangelism, I don't have that gift, let's say, I should just love it and think it's wonderful that that church member is going out, talking to people, inviting them into their home, sharing Jesus with them, eventually inviting them to church. I should just love them in Jesus for exercising their gift, even if I'm not part of that gift or don't have it. I know Jesus wants other people reached with the gospel. Or let's say I have the gift of spiritual leadership. Pastors generally have the gift of leadership. And you know, one weakness for leaders is, well, you got to be strong if you're a leader, right? If you're just sort of timid and second-guessing yourself all the time, you probably don't have the gift of leadership. So pastors generally having the gift of leadership. We have somewhat strong personalities. We can be a bit forceful at times. I don't know about Brother Mitchell, but I know I can be. And we're leaders, right? But then someone comes and says, Pastor, you could maybe do it better if you tried it this way. And if I say, what do you mean? I'm the leader. I have the gift of leadership. Ah, but they might have the gift of wisdom. They might have the gift of discernment. They might be sitting back, thinking it over, and saying, you know, the pastor has the right heart, he has a good idea, but if I think if he did it just a little bit differently like this, it would go better for the church. This sermon was on my mind in church this morning in Toronto. Don't want to give too much information, but we were part of a service group that had a ministry to refugee resettlement in Toronto. And we brought food. I think I mentioned that in the first sermon, rice. And I had to give a little, okay, Brian, you give the talk, right? It was a mixed group. There were people of Muslim background, Hindu background, non-Christians, some Christians, multi-ethnic. And I was a little bit nervous, and I think it went well overall, praise the Lord. But this morning in church, a dear lady friend, just love her in the Lord, she says, hey, it went very nicely, you know, but at one point you said, we as Christians believe, and that sort of put a barrier. I said, yeah, I remember saying that. I was trying to say, this isn't what everyone here believes, but Christians believe. But she said, I know you meant that, but it kind of came off like an us versus them. Maybe next time just say, followers of Jesus believe this, and not we versus them. And I said, yeah, that would be better. I think my intention was right, but the words I used. So if you have the gift of leadership, it's really important that you're able, in humility, to hear what maybe someone who has the gift of wisdom or discernment might have to really help in better leadership. That from my own life. Remember, Jesus, He came not what? Not to be served, but to serve. Jesus the servant. So the right attitude is to want all the members of the church to be busy serving one another. Everyone meeting the needs of the church body, that all the gifts of the Holy Spirit are being used. I think your pastor and your elders would just love it if you said, look, I've gone through the list and I think I might have the gift of, well, say hospitality. When I read the characteristics of hospitality, it means opening up my home generally. It means coffee, tea, a snack, a meal. Maybe you enjoy cooking. Maybe you enjoy... And it's something you can really put to practice. And then I'm sure your elders and pastor would just say, that's lovely. It shouldn't be up to only us as pastors and elders to show the gift of hospitality. I encourage you to try to use that gift of hospitality. So you open up your home. You try cooking a meal. You try engaging in a little small talk, showing friendliness to a newcomer to the church or to someone who's been here a long time. And we enjoy just some fellowship. Try practicing your gift out of agape love, being a servant to others, not being the boss. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And to give His life a ransom for many. That's a model, brothers and sisters, for us, having the right attitude. Now, briefly, there's also an attitude we have to have about ourselves as a church member. Look at what Paul writes in verse 14. Here he imagines someone having a gift, but they have the wrong attitude towards themselves. This is not now looking at the other person who might have the gift. I don't think I need that person. But now, someone has a gift, and this is a wrong attitude that they might have about themselves with their gift. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if an ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So imagine, the foot says to the hand, hand, you're much more important. I'm just a lowly foot. You cover me up with a shoe, you hardly notice me. I don't think I'm really necessary for the body. You see, that's the wrong attitude. And some Christians really think of themselves, probably there's a problem of even thinking too highly of yourself or too lowly about yourself, right? And we put ourselves down. Oh, my gift? I don't think that's really a gift. Oh, that little thing? I don't think that's really something I can do. I'm just a lowly foot. I'm not a hand. You know, hands are important. They grab, you know. I'm just one of these things that are kind of down and out and to the side. It's the wrong attitude. It's the wrong attitude. Use your gift, even if it seems like a lowly gift. It's not so public. So you don't have the gift of leadership or teaching. That's a more public gift. Standing up in front or taking the lead in some way. But again, the gift of hospitality, it's not so visible. It's sort of a quiet gift. And how appreciative your pastor and elders would be if you would just say, I don't know if I have it, and I'm a little nervous about it, but I'm going to try inviting some people over to my home, or I'm going to meet them at a restaurant and pick up the tab and just kind of enjoy getting to know them and having good Christian conversation. That's the right attitude, serving, helping, agape love. Not thinking that you prefer to sit back. We talked about that. This isn't a passenger ship, this is a battleship. The church, everyone has a duty. Not minimizing your spiritual gift, not minimizing yourself, not saying, oh, my gift isn't that important. But no, putting yourself out there. You know, ministry in the church always takes some risk. Ministry in the church always involves some risk. Putting yourself in a new situation. Trying something new. Hey, Rand, will you play piano for us as we sing? Oh, I don't know if I can do that. Say, Christian, would you be willing to teach the 5, 6, 7-year-olds in a Sunday school class? Or would you be willing to come up with a craft, use your artistic abilities and help the children with coloring and something creative? Oh, I don't know if I can do that. No, take the step forward. filled with the love of Christ, to want to minister in the name of Christ, not wanting to be served, but to serve others in the church in the name of Jesus. Paul says about agape love in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, agape love always perseveres, keeps on going, doesn't give up. Put your gift out there. Try it. Take some risks. So, brothers and sisters in the Lord, each of you are gifted by the Holy Spirit of God. Each of you have gifts from the ascended Lord Jesus through His poured out Holy Spirit. You have gifts right now, right here in this church in Scarborough. The Spirit lives in you. The Spirit connects you with Christ, the source of your power. But the big questions really come down to these two. The big questions really come down to these two. First, are you willing to discover your gift? And secondly, once you discover your gift, are you willing to use it? Let us pray. Father, thank you for challenging us with your word this afternoon. You've given us such riches in Christ, such power in the Spirit, but sometimes we hold back. Sometimes we're apathetic. Sometimes we just get ourselves caught up in too much busyness out in the world or with our immediate families. And Father, there are seasons in some Christians' lives with perhaps young children or extra busy time in work where for a season we cannot use too many gifts. But Father, make us more willing to discover which gifts you've given us through Jesus by His Spirit. And then when we start to discover those gifts, may we be willing to put them into use. Not ultimately for our glory or praise, but for your glory and for your praise, and to minister to one another in the name of Jesus. We pray in Him. Amen.